Everybody wants to be a part of the culture.
Until it's time to be diverse, equitable, and inclusive.
So we're having the uncomfortable conversations needed to spark the change.
Right here, right now.
We're your hosts, Ty Devereaux Lawson.
And I'm Simeon Coker.
And we say all the things you wouldn't.
Welcome back to the Mixed Company Podcast.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Advertising Club of New York presents Mixed Company Podcast. For those of you that are kind of confused, like, why are you guys saying your name like this? Or maybe this might be the first time you're even tuning in at all. The Advertising Club of New York and the Mixed Company Podcast are partners for 2024. This collaboration aims to bring together the best of both worlds, the expertise of the Advertising Club and engaging content of the Mixed Company Podcast. As part of this partnership, both organizations are closely working together to create valuable and relevant content for their audiences. Each episode consists of industry experts and thought leaders invited to share their insights and experiences on various topics related to all things advertising. We encourage you, if you're listening, and even if you're not, to join as members of the club and really get into it with their mission to educate, celebrate, and empower our community of over 6,000 agencies and marketing, media, and communications professionals by simply going to theadvertisingclub.org. And so with that, we'll get into this week's episode. And so our latest episode was a super, super, super fun experience as the Advertising Club of New York invited Mixed Company Podcast to get a sense of what was going on behind the scenes at their annual, or rather their 60th edition of their annual International Andy Awards. This year's awards were fabulous, and a lot of the sentiment that came from the jurors slash winners and winners were really, really, really deep in terms of how they described what they're looking for, what craftsmanship looks like in this business, and also what's kind of piquing their excitement. And so for those of you that are maybe not aware of what the Andy Awards are, I'll start by giving you a little bit of some history, right? Founded in 1964, the Andys is an idea-based competition to honor global creativity aligned with a brand. And as the first show of the award season, the Andes is often regarded as the predictor in award show landscapes and constantly has the highest level of talent on the jury, bar none. I personally can speak to that. I had a fabulous evening speaking to some of the amazing presenting jurors for this year's Andes. These folks are definitely everything that they are. Like, the hype is real. I was about to say they're cracked up to what they're supposed to be, but the hype is totally real. We had the lovely pleasure of meeting with jury president Tiffany Rolfe of RGA. We also chatted with Raphael Patungi from VML, as well as Shannon Washington, who's been on the show a couple times, who is also at Gotham, and of course, Lewis Williams, who is at Weber Shandwick. What was amazing about talking to these folks is that they too were just as impressed with the company that they were keeping as it is from those of us looking from outside of the club into the jury club, if you will. They were all excited. They all knew that they were, you know, among the best of the best. And I think being humble enough to recognize that you may not necessarily be the only hyped person there, but also to recognize the caliber of talent in the room was great to hear. In addition to talking to the jurors, we got a sense of what it actually looked like from their perspective to have to choose between so many wonderful entries. And so throughout this episode, you will hear themes such as storytelling being key to what they're looking for as they're rating rating the creative and the case studies, a focus on craft and scale and in context, which is super important. We talk about, you know, advertising and judging creativity being, you know, very specific to taste and whose taste level are we looking at. But this group of folks, they really sat and discussed what that looked like in the context of the global world. Everyone's not from New York City. The work's not all coming out of the United States. And so what does that look like on a larger scale? And then the conversations in general. These folks have great senses of humor, and they also have a great respect for the Andes. And so I'm excited to share with you some of those conversations. Definitely stay tuned. Listen, if you need a beverage, go grab it. If you're on the train, turn this up. But we're happy that you're here with us, and we're happy that you get this behind the scenes listen of the 60th edition of the International Andy Awards. Mic check, mic check. Welcome back to another episode of Mixed Company Podcast. As you guys know, we've been partnering with the Advertising Club of New York for all of 2024, and we are finally here today for one of their biggest days of the year. We are at the Andy Awards presentation, and I am here collecting fantastic interviews from some of our winners and judges for the day. And I have a wonderful guest that I'd love to introduce you all to. If you don't mind introducing yourself into your microphone.
Sure, I'm Rafa Pitangui. I'm the Deputy Global CCO for VML and the creative lead, one of the creative leads actually, for the Coca-Cola business.
Ooh, and Coca-Cola is a big, big, big piece of work for WPP and all of its brands. So I know you have your hands full these days. So would love to get a sense from you. So you're actually a hybrid in our conversation. You are a winner and a judge. So you've been on both sides of the coin this year. I'd love to start with your judging experience and like get a sense, you know, what criteria do you look for as you're judging creative? I know everyone thinks that they're creative, but what are you specifically looking for that you think is winning worthy in an Andy Award when you're looking at the work?
All right, I think first, starting from a more emotional level, for me was really a unique judging because I lived in Lisbon when I was starting as a creative and were some of the most amazing years of my life. So to be back there after so many years judging and looking back at my career was really a unique moment, especially with so many amazing jurors by my side, like some of the people there are actually my advertising heroes. So it was like a big, big moment. What I look for, I think as a creative, and I'm, first of all, I am a creative.
Yes, you are.
I'm looking for, I'm trying to, when an idea, I can't keep track of where that idea came from, is something that really impresses me. Like it fits the brand, it makes a lot of sense for the brand, but I can't understand how they got to that idea. It's more like a feeling of surprise. Mm-hmm. Than anything else, because if you can track back, oh, I see what they did here, I think I understand why they followed this route, maybe the idea is amazing, but when you get really impressed, mm-hmm. and you don't know where the idea came from, I think that's a moment when you are really like, whoa.
And I love that.
And that's like the, at least a big winner for me.
So you like to be surprised. So I imagine watching a movie with you, you usually don't like the people who tell you the ending within the first 5 minutes, right?
You're totally right.
So I love that. Did you see anything in the work during your judging experience, which, by the way, Portugal is pretty fancy, so congrats to you guys for having that fancy time together. Was there anything that you saw as a trend or a template or a trend that you're seeing coming out of work this year? Which is important for our listeners to know because we're in the midst of award season. We're at the Andes, we're getting ready for Cannes. There are going to be tons of awards that happen throughout the year. What are you seeing that might be repeated or as a trend across the board?
I think the use of technology in a way that it really brings you to a more emotional level. It's not like the use of technology through the use of technology. But really, how can you manage to get technology and human feelings together in the same piece? I think though that's where the sweet spot is right now. Don't get like gone with technology. It's not only about technology, but how can we use technology to really bring human emotions to life? I think that's where the sweet spot is.
And I know that's really nuanced with the use of AI these days because everyone's trying to figure out what is that balance of
integrity, of authenticity, but also using technology for more efficiency. Would love to know, and I know this isn't a question I posed to you, but just, I love how your brain is working. How do you think, or do you have any thoughts on the best approach to using AI technology in the work as people start to rely on that these days?
When you work with advertising, you are putting out messages that are going to be seen by millions and sometimes billions of people, right? So it's really important to stay critic and to really think about what you're doing. How are the different people that are going to receive that message, face that message that you are sending? So don't get too much carried out for the technology. Really have a critic sense on everything you do. I think that's super important.
I appreciate that. So now let's talk about the important thing. You're a winner. And as they say out here, chicken dinner. You're also a winner tonight in addition to judging. So I'd love to get a sense from you. What does this honor mean for you? I heard Gina was going through her script earlier, and she was like, if you win here, you're a gold winner. There's no second or third place. So would love to get a sense. What does that mean to you? And how do you think that helps to build morale for your teams back at VML?
I think the Andes is amazing because there's something about this award that's truly unique. It takes you back to the most important thing, which is the idea. Like, every category is against every category. It's not only, oh, this is perfect for this subcategory in this specific platform for this specific medium. No, here, a print ad is against, I don't know, a Hollywood production. So you really get to the root of the idea, and I think that's absolutely beautiful and really brings us to the reason why we chose this career, right?
That's absolutely
about the great ideas.
It's about the great ideas. Tons of ideas in this industry, but the great ideas get awarded. Rafa, it was wonderful to meet you. Thank you so much for your time.
Great to be here, and thanks for inviting me.
And I'm so sorry I kept you away from your wine glass. Next time we'll be more familiar, so you bring me one too, okay?
I'll do it right now. All right.
All right. Nice to meet you, and thank you.
Thank you.
Are you picking me up? You're not picking me up.
We are picking you up. You're right here.
I am?
Down here. Yeah, that's you. Every time you talk.
Okay. All right, cool.
She said her mic sounds nice.
Check one.
And check two. We are back with another interview. As you all know, we've had some fantastic people. It's a tattoo, girl.
When'd you get this?
Oh, I got this back in August. I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it.
Keep that in the cut.
I will absolutely keep this in the clip. If you recognize this voice, you know we've got the amazing, the badass, the queen of all commercial advertising, the queen of culture, Miss Shannon Washington.
Girl,
how you doing,
I am
mama?
Six steps away from homeless. I am fine.
Are you six? That makes
no,
me
I'm
three
not.
Steps. Because I'm like, is that the bar these days?
That's how I feel.
So, Shannon, you've had a fantastic year so far. Your name is everywhere. You're doing big things.
Thank
and on
you.
Top of that,
thank you, friend.
You are judging the Andes.
Yes.
And so if anyone is going to give me real tea, I know it's going to be you to give me the tea.
Oh, Lisbon was lit.
Oh, so, yes. So, okay. So for those of you that are listening, you'll see in the write-up, the Andes were judged in Lisbon, Portugal.
Yes.
The wine, I'm sure, was popping.
Yes, the wine was whining.
The seafood, was it seafooding?
The seafood was seafooding.
Okay, and then the flavors, were they flavoring?
The flavors were flavoring. You know, ooh. Portugal, you know, for Europe,
okay.
they season some food.
Okay, because that's
so
important.
I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I've been to Portugal before, but I was very happy.
Whenever you need a flex on travel, you have to ask the founder of Parlor Travel about all of her travels so she can let you know. Like, I've been here before, and it's always a 10. So, okay, I'd love to get a sense from you. You went to Portugal. You ate good. You drank good. You had a fantastic fellowship with your other creatives.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Talking about the creativity, mm-hmm. What were you seeing going on? Were there any trends happening? Are there things that you want people to stop doing? Because I know that I can count on you to tell me that.
You know, I really want people to stop copying and pasting case studies.
Yes.
You know, I want people to get more intentional with their case studies. And I say this as a writer. I say this as just a reader of a lot of case studies. I don't think people necessarily understand that is a part of the award.
Yeah.
As much as we'll say, like, oh, we're awarding the work. We're also awarding, you know, not a big percentage, but is the case study thoughtful? Is it clear?
Is it clear?
Very, very pointed towards what, you know, the work it is that we're judging. Granted, you had, you know, people in the room who had seen the work or certain pieces of work and knew, like, the full body of work, so we were able to bring our own context to it. But if someone is unable to do that and they're going off of what you submit, it's important to make it very, you know, deliberate to the work that we're judging. But trend-wise, I would say, this is going to sound really general, but interesting storytelling is back.
That's what Rafa said.
Interesting storytelling is back, and I am in my storytelling bag forever because of it. And I feel, you know, I felt really validated, if I'm being honest, because, you know, there's always a conversation around, you know, long form versus short form. And people say, like, I want to bring, you know, funny advertising back, or I want to bring simple things back. But I'm sorry, like, we learn through story. That's how our brain
programs.
And so telling great stories with the work, telling cultural stories with the work is absolutely back. And doing it in ways that are funny.
Yeah.
You know, not everything is, a single note piano sob story. That was a moment, say. And
it has its place.
And it has its place, 100%. I was just about to say that, but, you know, bringing a little bit of that narrative ethos into just, you know, straight ahead CPG work, you know, or straight ahead foundational work, like straight ahead tech work was really interesting. And really, like I said, fortifying. It was really validating. Because selfishly, that's the type of work that I love to do, you know?
Right.
I would also say the bigger brands realizing that they need to step it up, like some of the smaller brands, some of the more innovative brands are doing. You know, I'm not going to, you know, name any per se, but, like, I think that, you know, your blue chip agencies or your blue chip brands, if you will, are seeing, like, we can get nimble, we can get interesting, we can get weird.
That's
you
so
know,
interesting.
Which I love, and it's not, you know, it doesn't have to be like the same old holiday thing or the same old, you know, Super Bowl thing. Like, we can get weird.
I'm gonna ask a question about that, the theme for me.
I want the weird. Absolutely. Because life is weird.
Life is life is so weird.
Life is weird. Like, the average day is, there's so much magic in the mundane of our days, and I love to see people really bringing that to the forefront of work and understanding, like, not every day is, you know, incredibly overtly comical or overtly sad or anything that we, like, imagine. Like, some days are just boring, but the way that we get through them is we make things up in our mind. We see things differently, and, you know, understanding the place that realism, magical realism, weirdness has in culture as well. I was really, really happy with how it, I was really, really happy with the body of work that I saw, 100%.
That makes me excited because very few people in the world where I will take things with more than a grain of salt, maybe a cup of salt. And for you to be excited with no shade, mm-hmm. shade. Is really important. And so if you're seeing things that you like, that means that this is going to be a fantastic award season.
100%.
Okay.
I think that this award season is going to surprise us. You know, I went and I did another show right after the Andy. So I feel like I had, like, a whole 2 weeks of, like, critically discussing work. And I think a very shared sentiment is that we're also getting back to the business.
We sell things. We are here to make money this economy doesn't have.
And to make money. Exactly. But I say that because, you know, very commerce-driven work, very, like, you know, not necessarily to, like, endear a brand to your heart or anything like that. It's like, no, but for real, you should buy this.
Yep.
And I love that because it goes back to the essence of why it is that we do what we do. We persuade people to purchase.
We do.
And that is a science, you know, and there's so many wonderful things you can do with that, that I think people are kind of getting back to the basics, but in new ways, which I like.
Got it. So as we are heading in, just so y'all know, it's cocktail hour. My last question for you is, How do you, in what place of your heart do you hold the significance of the Andy Awards?
Oh, man.
On the scale of award season, because this has been around forever.
Yeah.
We've seen it. I mean, for God's sakes, it was mentioned in Mad Men. So,
yeah,
like, even
yeah.
if you don't work in advertising, you know the Andys. Why is it so significant for you to judge and be a part of the Andys Awards celebration?
It's significant to me because not only the history, but the Andes, you know, is known for being just, I hate to say it, it's hard, you
yeah.
know? And
yeah.
I say it, and having been a judge, having, you know, sat in a jury room and been at a table with, I can't remember, but I think it was close to about maybe 13 of us, and no, more than that, a little under 20 in that room. And I'll put it like this. So it was a U shape. Like a
I
horseshoe.
Saw pictures, yes.
yes. And I'm in the middle of the horseshoe, so I can see both sides of
yeah.
the room. And there was a moment, I'm sitting next to Chris, and I see Tiff, you know, I see Richard Brem, I see Javi, my boss.
Yeah.
Like, I'm seeing people that I can't, how do I say this? I was so honored to be in that room.
That's what Rafa said. So that
I
is,
was so that honored to
thread.
Be in that room. Like,
yeah.
when I got that email, like, you know, like...
You knew you made it?
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit, I'm... Oh, my
you
God,
important.
I must be good at my job.
You're real important.
You know?
Okay.
But it gave me a whole new appreciation for this show because I had grown up in this industry knowing
yeah.
that the work that is discussed at the Andes is critical.
For sure.
You know? And it is deliberated over. And I, you know, I'd been a jury president at Cannes. I've
yep.
juried almost every show. And I will say, this one... was rigorous.
For sure.
And I think that that's what makes it so special. The work is treated with such a high level of care.
Yep.
And it is a hard one to win. So, like, I got one little one, but, like,
okay.
you know, I have a whole new method of our level of appreciation for it right now because
yep.
of the level of, like, deliberation and back and forth. And I mean, like, very polite arguing.
I love
very polite arguing.
I love
you know?
I love polite disagreements and
yeah,
and
but it was passionate
yeah.
and it was about things that we really cared for.
Yeah.
There were, you know, a moment where a few of us sniffled seeing something and shared what we felt about a piece of work.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we were also just a group of creatives
for
and
sure.
business leaders, like bringing ourselves literally to the table. And so, to answer your question, the experience is 100% special. But I want everyone listening to this to know the reason why the Andes is held so high is that everything from the itinerary to the details to even the judging system is treated with the utmost care.
Love it.
And like if you won, if you, you know, even from shortlist to grandy, like I say, like I'm gonna say in my speech later, like I'd be proud as hell.
Yeah.
Because baby.
Yeah.
It got real.
It got real. It got real. It was earned.
It was 100% earned. 100% earned. And I think sometimes people look at shortlists like, oh, you know, it's a shortlist. And I'm like, honey, this shortlist?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's worth it.
Okay. Well, Shannon, I'm going to be talking to you throughout this show.
100%.
But thank you so much. It's
thank
always
you.
A blessing to get you to bless the mic with us.
Same
and tell
here.
Us the things.
Always a blessing to see you. You always have kind words. Always dropping gems.
Listen, you got to tell the people the real thing.
And I like your nails.
Thank you. My nails are very gold. They're gold like the Andy statue,
yeah.
just so everybody knows. All right. Shannon, I'm going to let you go get back to the cocktail hour, and we'll be back with more guests. You guys stay tuned.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We've got another interview for you, and this is going to be fantastic. We have Madam Jury President here with us, and also a winner. So now we've got the front of the house, the back of the house, all of the production, and I am so excited to speak with you today. Do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners
yes.
so they can get to know
no,
you?
I don't mind at all. I am Tiff Rolfe. I'm the Chair and Global Chief Creative Officer of RGA.
Wonderful. So RGA, everybody knows, if you want to do dope shit, you want to know cool people, I know we just talked to one of your alumni here.
Yeah, we got dope people, dope alumni, just dope all around.
Listen, I will say I've snuck into the office a couple times over the years to record a couple of these episodes. So
well, come in. We have some good new space in Brooklyn Navy Yard.
I heard.
So like, you should just set up a little podcast station.
If you and Baina will let me, I will absolutely come and sit in the
anytime. Okay? I'm trying to get cool people in there because that's the way I think you create FOMO. You don't have to mandate. You motivate with really interesting people that just are there that you want to hang out with.
It's the Studio 54.
Yes,
approach. You can come in, but maybe
we
not
don't
you.
Have the same level of. We don't have a lot of drugs and you know, some of the
safer.
Some of those naughty things, but we have, you know, a very safe, clean, inspiring environment with great views.
Great views.
You can take a ferry even to get there, which is a whole different experience for New Yorkers, and I'm enjoying it.
I heard. So I'm happy to be here. I don't think either of us traveled by ferry, but we're here.
We are here.
We're here, and I'd love to ask you about, I mean, you said two-time jury president. Tell me about that experience. Tell me about the experience that made you come back for a second year to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this again.
Well, it's a two-year gig, which I think is a good thing. A few years back, actually, my former boss, Alex Bogusky, Crispin Porter Bogusky, instilled the two-year term. And I think it was, you know, there's only so much you can do in 1 year, right?
Yep.
You learn it, you understand it, you take it in. It's like any, you know, job you go to, you got to, like, understand what you're entering into. And I think the second year you get to think about what are different changes, what are things that you can help and evolve, and how can you kind of imprint on what the next evolution will be. And not to mention, it's a good group of people. Gina and crew are fabulous, amazing. They care. They're doing amazing things for the industry.
They are.
And it's a unique jury. It's one that is really different from other juries in that it's one jury. It's a jury made up of jury presidents. So the people, you know, we're all often like leading juries of different categories and disciplines, but we get to come together as one jury and just look across all types of work. And look at what is the best work? What is the work that represents like the sampling of the best work for our industry? And we get to have the most amazing kind of debates that you've ever had, where you go into that room thinking one thing and you leave thinking another, or you go back and forth thinking so many different things throughout it because you get to hear so many different perspectives that I think really shapes a great point of view on the work, because you know, we get into our worlds and our understanding of things, and we've been in this business maybe a long time, and you look at it a certain way, but to the point of like diverse points of views and opinions, like there are things that you learn about the work because someone came from a small country and the way they view a piece of work and what it represented for them, or even the idea of scale. What does scale mean when
what
you come from a smaller country versus like you have a Super Bowl opportunity, and like Is it really scale in terms of quantity, or is it about quality and reaching a certain community? And I think there's some just really like great debates that happen that I think make everyone smarter and ensure that the right work gets recognized.
For sure. I heard it got emotional in there with some of those great debates, great polite debates how it was described to me.
Yeah, there are. And there's existential debates about our industry and even like, what does craft mean? What does craft mean when, does craft mean big budgets or not? Does it mean it has to be perfect did you have to spend months on it, or could craft be what's right for the medium?
Yep.
And that means it's simple and natural and organic to the environment. Like, there's such great conversations around our industry, our work, what creativity means today, what does it mean with new types of technology, and it makes us, I feel like, a lot smarter or a lot dumber sometimes coming out of the room, and that's an okay thing.
It's absolutely an okay thing.
You got to learn and unlearn at the same time to move forward, I think.
So I'd love to get a sense from you, when you are judging work, when you're actually looking at a case study and you're reviewing it, what is it that usually sticks out to you that says this is a great idea or this is a great campaign?
There's a lot, but I think in the simplest form, something just speaks to you. It makes you think about things differently. It's surprising, like it stays with you. It makes you feel something, you know? It makes you either laugh or cry, or makes you think differently about something.
It moves you.
It stops you for a moment and makes you think about something. And I think that's what the best creative work does. Is like, that's what we're meant to do. We're meant to help people reframe, rethink, stop, take a moment, and go reassess this that I'm in, and what do I think about this brand? What do I think about this thing that's happening? And I think the best creative creates almost like a blip, you know, in your flow of how you're thinking in your mind, and gets you to think about things differently.
Okay. So you're also a winner chicken dinner.
Yes. Well, you know, my team.
The team. The
not
team.
Not
going to
take all the credit.
Team.
I got amazing people.
Well, let's talk about the
Those
team.
Those dope people
Those
you mentioned.
Those really dope people. I know quite a few. So let's talk about that. What do you say about the journey it takes for a team? So obviously it's the leader that needs to acknowledge that this is teamwork, which is beautiful. So thank you for calling that out. But how do you qualify, or how do you describe the journey it takes to win in Andy?
Yeah.
Because Gina said earlier while she was running through her lines that, like, if you win in Andy, it's gold. There is no second or third place. So that means a lot, and it takes a lot. And I'd love to get your thoughts on what it actually takes to get to the point of winning in Andy.
Well, there's such good work out there, and there's even great work out there. But I think the best work really hits on so many different things.
Yep.
And a lot of what we talk about is, like, yeah, there's one broad category. We don't divide it up into discipline, but we look at the work through different lenses, you know, distinctions. We look at it through, like, just the core idea and, like, what was the insight here, and was this idea something new?
Yeah.
We look at it through the craft and, like, how well crafted is this for the medium or wherever it ends up, or, like, the idea itself. We look at it through the lens of reset. Like, is this changing the way things have been done before, getting you to rethink how things should be done? An innovation that can be technology, but can it be like a combination of things that are done in new ways?
For sure.
And then I think a big one that we talk about is bravery.
Yes.
And, like, taking, what is the risk? What was the risk that was taken to get to this work out in the world by the people that made it, the people that it's about, the people that made it both client and agency? There's got to be something at stake. And I think when the best of the work really hits on almost all of those things, you know? And I think that's what, you know, it takes really assessing the work, pushing the work, and not letting work lose it along the way. Because I think there's a lot of great ideas out there. And I almost think that, like, coming up with great ideas is sort of the easy part.
For sure.
And that's our job. You got to just keep going back. But to get it made, and then through all of the hurdles that can happen along the way to get it made, get it out in the world, and then while you're making it and informing it over time with so many different opinions and hurdles, for it to still be great and hit on all of those levers, it really means you really knew what that idea was, and you maintained, like, the soul of that idea throughout the whole process, and you never let up, you never gave up on pushing the craft.
For sure.
Ensuring that insight and the core of the idea is not lost along the way.
And that's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Because ideas beget ideas. And so how do you ladder it back to where you started from?
Yeah,
so I love that.
You got to think about where you want to go to keep on the same track. I always tell people, you know, and back in my past agency experience, and this is a way a lot of people think about it now, but we thought about, like, what the story was, the headline, the PR headline, the article, what would it lead to? And part of that was just what outcome do we want?
Yeah.
And if you don't really clearly know what you want that idea to be at the end, it can get lost along the way.
Manifestation is
everything.
What this is sounding like.
And so you gotta have that in. You gotta think about it up front,
and
keep it. And whenever something gets in its way, or when we start to get scared and we start to question it, like, you gotta be strong, go back to it, and really get back to what you set out for that idea to be.
For sure.
And then if it does change, what about it's going to stay great, and what was core to it? Because the idea is going to change. It's
absolutely
going to morph. But that's where it's never just about the execution or the form factor, but that core of the idea you have to hold on to and never let go. And the ideas that make it through, because there's so much good work out there, are the ones that made it through all the hurdles and came out the other side. And it takes great partnerships, great teams, luck. It takes craft. I mean, there's so many things that have to be right for it to, like, come out and be as great as you hoped it to be when you started.
Tip, I appreciate you so, so much. I have one final question for you, because you said something that triggered me in the best way. How do you define craft?
Craft. I think craft is the best and right form for the place it's at and the audience it's with.
Got it.
And I think, like, it's a different thing today. I don't think that you need to necessarily spend years noodling over the exact right thing. You know, this font goes in this place in this way, and this color and this edge, for it to equal great craft. Now, some craft is just great craft. It's artistry, but is it the best craft for the platform, the place? Graffiti needs to look a certain way, you know what I mean? It's made with a certain type of paint. And it has to be fast and spray on a wall, you know what I mean? When you're at the beach, you write with a stick on sand. You don't come in and bring a pencil and start to, like, ink or a pen on the sand. Like, it's a combination of the elements of the environment. And you look at that from just, like, the base art, you know, where it was, to now we're in different social platforms. And you can't show up, like, when I come here, I'm wearing a different outfit than I'm going to be with my kids at home or when I'm going to the gym. And, like, we all have to think about the environment.
You said I don't look like this. I don't look this fancy all the time.
You gotta create per the context.
For sure.
And the context matters, and I think craft is just designing the right form for the context.
I love it. Well, my vote's for you for president. That's who I might be writing in. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank
you for your thoughtful thoughts.
Come to the innovation dock in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. We'll set you up some mics, and I'll come in weekly and do a co-session with you.
I'm gonna hold you to it. All of a sudden, you'll have an email in your inbox from some people.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your time. We are starting off the Andy Awards with some of the absolute most fantastic people in this industry. And with that, I am here with my fantastic creative peer right now, Lewis with the shiny scarf. Lewis came out, let me tell y'all, Lewis showed out. Lewis, are you from Chicago?
No, from Macon, Georgia.
Are you from Georgia? Georgia. So this is that Georgia fly that you've brought to us, but it is bedazzling. It says I'm here, and for that, I'm grateful to be in your presence. Lewis, do you mind giving the folks from Mixed Company Podcast a bit of an introduction to who you are, what agency you're representing or yourself, and then we'll get into the questions about your phenomenal judging experience.
Of course. Yes, my name again is Lewis Williams. I'm the EVP head of brand impact at Weber Shandwick, which is a PR firm. But my history is advertising. Recently before Weber Shandwick, I was at Berea Communications, the chief creative officer, and before that, I spent many years at Leo Burnett.
Fantastic. So you've had a fantastic career, because not only have you spanned the advertising side of marketing into PR and other areas, but you've also done general market and multicultural work. And so for me, I know I'm going to trust this list of winners, because you've got an eye. You've seen all of the things. And so with that eye, I'd love to get a sense from you in your judging experience. What were some of the things that stood out to you from this year's submissions to the Andy Awards? Were there any trends? Were there any things that you'd prefer people stop doing, or something that you'd like to see more of, perhaps?
Well, you know, you really feel the impact of social media. There's so many ideas of where you get creative inspiration. It's also where you look where the trends are going and just what the conversation the consumers themselves are having about themselves, about the world, and about brands. But I'm always a sucker for storytelling. I think should never go anywhere.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't care if a tweet, there's a story in it.
Yeah.
So that's what I always look for still, no matter what.
So what do you think makes a good storyteller? Because here's the thing. I think most people would say that they're creative. They've got a creative bone in their body. But a good story, I think, is it has a je ne sais quoi. So I would love to get your thoughts. What makes a good story to tell to win an Andy Award?
The greatest stories are simple stories. Even though you can take that one sentence and make a two-hour film out of it, but at its core, you know, what is it? It's very simple. And it's also something that makes you laugh, cry, smile, and it sticks with you long after it.
Yeah.
You've seen it. So all the great stories, you remember it 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and that's what's the power of the story.
I love that. And that seems to be the theme that I'm hearing across everyone that we've spoken to. It's the storytelling. It's the emotion that you're able to evoke. It's the level of craft beyond, you know, how much budget you have. But really the craft and the eye to your craft, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything specifically impactful or a specific case study? And maybe we don't name the submission, but did you see anything that you were like, damn, this is it?
I gotta say, this year, I think no. But no, you know, now when I say no with
hot
with
takes.
put a little because now you see so much. It's like when you look at the Super Bowl commercial, you've seen all of them before the Super Bowl.
That's
right?
Right.
So
yeah.
you lack that freshness, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. But every once in a while something would come up from a different country you haven't been. But, you know, it's one particular, I guess we can't say clients' names, things like that. But
let's be safer than sorry.
I got it, yeah. but what I do look for a body of work. Because
yeah.
right now, everything is hit, miss, and everybody
yeah.
can do any one thing one time. But I'm just more impressed with the work that I see brands and creatives do that's consistent.
Yeah.
I'm seeing two or three, you know, you've been there two or three times in
yeah.
a row, and you know, okay, these people really know what they're doing. Versus that they may have lucked into
it. For sure. So with that even being said, I'd love to get a sense from you. The Andy Awards is one of the, I would say, from my perspective, one of the most impactful awards. Even if you don't know advertising, you might just know the Andy Awards. So I'd love to get a sense from you. Why was it significant for you to be a part of this judging experience?
I think one thing about the Andys is that it's the level of judges.
Yeah.
I was sitting there in Lisbon, Portugal, and I'm looking around the table. I'm like, damn.
So
damn.
That's what made you say
yeah,
damn.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, I'm looking around like, look at this company. Look
yeah.
at who these people are. Second, what I love, I know it's the NBA playoffs right now, but I like either you in or you out. You know what I mean?
You
know, a lot of times we kind of, here's a gold, here's a silver, here's a bronze
yeah.
or whatever. That's good. But here, you're
there. You won or you didn't.
You miss a make, in or out.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I love that criteria.
I appreciate that as well. Lewis, it has been an honor to talk to you and to meet you. I will be calling you for some styling tips because I'm trying to see what's good with my accessories, too. Thank you so much for
your
time.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Here we go, guys. We are here with one of our final guests on the show today. Really excited to get a sense of what it means to be a winner. And I'd love to introduce you, if you don't mind sharing who you are with our guests.
I'm PJ Pereira from Pereira Odell and Service Plan.
Awesome. So nice to meet you. So you are a winner here with the Andy Awards. And I'd love to know what that actually means to you in terms of the impact of the awards and the history of the awards itself.
I'll tell you this. My first Andys, I won about 10 years ago, and it changed my career, changed the reputation of this agency. And after that Andy, we proceeded to win every major award that year. So
fantastic.
winning one of those is at the very least is very good luck, but it's more than that.
I totally get that. So what I've heard across the board from all of the judges that we've talked to today is that storytelling is a key part of what it takes to have a strong case study. What would you say your thoughts on what it takes to make a good story or to tell a good story to get you an Andy? How do you do that?
The jury at the Andy is probably the most senior jury in the industry. So there are people who understand what we're bringing and what you saw. So it's a jury they cannot fool.
Right.
When you bring it to them, You got to tell the story as it is without trying to be self-congratulatory or try to tell them what to think about it. But just bring the work, let them see, let them judge. And I've been in the jury a few times. They'll see. If it's great, they'll see it.
And last question for you. What do you think that they saw in the work that your team brought to the table that may not have come through in other case studies? What sets you guys apart?
I think that the world of advertising is desperate for humor again. For stores, they're just pure enjoyment, and it don't follow any other big trends. You're trying to copy what has been done before. It's just what is an interesting story that can tell about this product, and I think that's what we did this time.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your timing. Congratulations again
on
your win.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your night. Take care. And that's a wrap on this episode of the Advertising Club of New York Presents Mixed Company Podcast. We just want to give a huge shout out to all of the judges and winners that joined us for this conversation. We hope you guys continue joining us for more episodes and stay tuned for more amazing thought leaders, creatives, and just dope people that are doing their thing in this industry. We can't wait to bring you more. Take care. We'll be right back.